Good morning, afternoon, or evening, everyone. Whatever time it may be for you, this is Brian Newbert from GoldenBlack.com, live here in my home office following Purdue's 67-65 win at number 15, Ohio State. The creepy sound you might be hearing behind me is the wind whipping up against my office window. It's apparently a very treacherous weather evening outside. Not in my car for the reasons I've outlined before. I don't want to get the police called on me for breaking into my own car this late at night. So here I am in my house trying to keep my voice down because there are people sleeping here. Anyway, Purdue wins at Ohio State 67-65. This again is your Golden Black Radio Express post-game podcast. It is brought to you by our friends at Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the East End Grill, Charters Team Remaxability Plus, JFQ Lending, and Gridiron Metalworks. So we'll dive right into it here. Really a thrilling win for Purdue, obviously. Just an enormous win for this team. Jaden Ivey's three-pointer with 5 seconds to go. Won it for Purdue. Purdue obviously got the rebound at the end of the missed free throw. Kind of the anti-Virginia game there. And I know it's probably too soon to be bringing that up. I'm sorry. Purdue, this is pretty remarkable. Purdue goes 5 of 20 from three-point range for the game, but they close 3 of 3, made three enormous threes in the final 3 minutes, two by Jaden Ivey, one by Sasha Stefanovic, to kind of steal this game at the end, much like they did to Michigan State 4 games ago. Really a neat moment, you know, for Jaden Ivey, who's, you know, put so much work and so much of himself into his game and into his jump shooting. You know, it wasn't going his way. He'd missed 9 in a row before he made a 3 after Ohio State had gone up 5 on a Dwayne Washington 3, his 6th of the game. Looked like a real dagger. Jaden Ivey comes right back, makes his first 3 of the game off an outlet from Travion Williams. Huge shot for Jaden Ivey. Sasha Stefanovic ties it with inside a minute to go. Perfectly executed play. Jaden Ivey wins it with 5 seconds to go. I don't know if that's necessarily the shot Purdue was playing for with 5 seconds to go, but they put the ball in Jaden Ivey's hands, gave him a chance to make a play, and he did just that. Afterwards, he was talking about, you know, kind of the slump he's been in and how much of himself he kind of puts into his game, and it was just a really neat human moment. If you have a chance to watch the video online, he was really emotional about everything and just a really neat human moment because this meant the world to him. Winning the game meant the world to him. His hard work paying off meant the world to him. His mom being there again meant the world to him. Keep in mind, she's the head coach of Notre Dame's women's basketball team. She does not have you know, a hell of a lot of free time, but she's been to a bunch of games already this year. She's going out of her way to see her son play. They are incredibly close and just a really neat, I guess, human ending to this story of this pretty remarkable game tonight. Bigger picture than that, you know, Purdue is just so far ahead of schedule from a all kinds of perspectives here. You know, Purdue shouldn't necessarily be winning games like this at this point because young teams, unless they're like supremely talented, like overwhelming their teams with their opponents with talent, you know, it's hard to win these games, especially in the Big Ten where, you know, 1 through 13 at this stage are all, you know, difficult games, and it's so hard to play on the road this year being unique, obviously, but that doesn't, I think the results bear out the fact that it's still really hard to win on the road. You know, Purdue shouldn't be winning games like this, you know, according to conventional wisdom, but they seem like they've got a lot of areas where they're just way ahead of schedule here. They seem really together in big moments, atypical of a lot of teams who've been together, you know, for 6 months and spent their whole summer, I might add, you know, quarantined away from one another for the most part. You know, Purdue didn't practice as a team very much in the summer. They didn't get their Europe trip. Their summer was spent working out in 4-man groups. They were never in the locker room at the same time. They were very rarely on the practice floor at the same time. Just a really messy offseason. You know, the least of the world's problems, but a problem nonetheless. And this team's togetherness in big moments seems atypical. Their confidence seems striking. I think the freshmen are naturally confident. I think that's just baked in. the upperclassmen, I think, have accrued enough experience now to where they're confident, whereas last year, you know, they might not have been. And I think that's a big part of the reason this team is so much better now than it was last year. But also, I think, you know, Purdue is just not fazed by the moment. And I think that's something, you know, a team either has or doesn't. And Purdue does. And I want to add also here that something I've said on a couple other platforms here, that I think Purdue is doing an unbelievable job, Micah Shrewsbury in particular, drawing up plays for big moments. Purdue's been amazing this season, not to overstate it, out of timeouts. And they've been really good on their baseline out of bounds plays. And the last two games, that stuff has really loomed large. Or during this four-game winning streak, that stuff has really loomed large. They've been putting on a clinic in those respective areas. And that speaks to X's and O's. That speaks to preparation. That speaks to players listening to their coaches, paying attention, harping on details. Just stuff that you don't really expect from a team that's as young and inexperienced as Purdue is. But again, Purdue is just way ahead, you know, in so many ways here. And, you know, a lot of guys factored into this win today. You know, Travion Williams has got to stay out of foul trouble. You know, it's going to cost Purdue a game at some point. They've been fortunate thus far to get away from it, get away with it. But, you know, he gets two early fouls again in this game. He's just got to avoid the cheap ones. If he's going to get in foul trouble, you know, earn him on defense. But that's just That's not what's happening right now. Sorry, it's really late at night. That's not what's happening right now. He's getting, you know, fouls off turnovers where he bumps the guy. He's getting, you know, fouls on rebounds where, you know, he's just not earning them. And he's got to get out of that habit. But, you know, he's been great in second halves, you know, during this whole winning streak. This whole Big Ten season, actually, he's been great in second halves. He's becoming a really clutch player, a really, really, you know, foundational player, guy who wants the ball, guy who, you know, is making big plays, not backing down from anything. You know, I don't know, you know, he still has some work to do with the foul line, obviously, and big moments and all that stuff, but he's become a really big-time player for Purdue. I thought their guards in general did a great job in this game in terms of being aggressive and being assertive and really attacking Ohio State's aggressive defense. You know, last year at this time, Purdue played at Ohio State, and Ohio State took them out of everything they wanted to do offensively just by putting pressure on their guards, and the guards didn't respond to it very well. This year it was different. Sasha Stefanovic attacks off the dribble, has 12 points off the bounce basically before he even makes a three, which is, you know, unheard of for him. I thought Eric Hunter was good attacking the basket in the first half, especially. I thought Jaden Ivey, every time he put the ball on the floor, good things happened. Had a couple assists, had a bunch of buckets. Isaiah Thompson created a three for himself off the dribble. Authoritative and aggressive guard play was always a big part of the solution for this year's team in terms of being better this year than they were last year. And I think you saw it perfectly illustrated tonight, just like you saw the lack thereof perfectly illustrated at Ohio State last year. But the upperclassmen, you know, came up big in this game. Eric Hunter, I mentioned him. He did some really positive things. Travion Williams did some really positive things. Aaron Wheeler helps you win this game. He makes four enormous little things plays in the final minute to put this game away. Sasha Stefanovic, already mentioned him. Zach Edey gave Purdue great minutes. This was, you know, the two redshirt freshmen, this wasn't their night, Mason Gillis and Brandon Newman, but to a man, everybody else did something important in this game. So Purdue's got a lot going for it here. I keep saying that after these wins, but things seem to be coming together. They're getting better and better right before your eyes. This was quad one NCAA tournament win number three. Maybe number four if Michigan State can win some games the rest of the way and work their way back into that top 75. Amazingly, again, you win at Michigan State, you don't have a quad one win to show for it. That will happen never again, probably ever. But that's the reality right now. Michigan State's got to close strong to get in that top 75 to give Purdue another quad one win. You know, if Purdue finds a way to beat Michigan on Friday night at Mackey Arena, you know, it's not just time to start. It's not just about talking about Purdue maybe making the NCAA tournament. It's time to start mentioning Purdue in the Big Ten race, because, you know, nobody's hotter in the league right now than Purdue, basically. Ohio State had come in and won three games in a row. They'd won at Illinois. They'd won at Rutgers. They were, you know, they'd won three games in a row too, just like Purdue had. They were hotter than Purdue when you look at the, you know, the caliber of the wins probably. But Purdue now assumes that mantle. They're the hottest team in the Big Ten. You got Michigan coming to your place. Michigan got beat at Minnesota last week. You know, they might be, they might have peaked earlier in the season. Who knows? But, you know, it's time to start maybe talking about Purdue, you know, for something more than just, you know, getting into the NCAA tournament with a 500 record, which has kind of been my standard for them, because my view on this season has sort of been get in the NCAA tournament by any means necessary this year, set yourself up for next year. You got your whole team coming back probably. You know, that's a pretty good deal. But, you know, Purdue's really put itself in a great position here. They're way ahead of schedule as far as I'm concerned. They've got some great wins, and they seem to be, you know, getting better. So a lot to look forward to here, not only next season and into the future, but the rest of this season. So that's what I got, everybody. Brian Newbert here from GoldenBlack.com. Falling asleep in my chair, as you can tell probably from the number of you knows I just dropped on you during that little screed. Thanks for listening. This has been brought to you by Fouts Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the East End Grill, Charters Team Remaxability Plus, JFQ Lending, and Gridiron Metalworks. So we'll talk to you all again. Did I just say y'all? I'm not like that. I don't do y'all. Anyway, I think I just said that by accident because I'm tired and I'm slurring my speech. We'll talk to you all again on Friday night after Purdue plays Michigan in Mackey Arena. So thanks a lot, everybody.